This is bpnradio.com, and you're listening to Marketplace Saturday, where business leaders go to grow. Marketplace Saturday is designed for the entrepreneur, employee, or student that's looking to grow, learn, and become more today than they were yesterday. Now, here's your host for Marketplace Saturday, Rick Gentry. All right, everyone. Welcome to the Marketplace Watch Radio with your hosts, Ian Kieber, and my beautiful wife, Allison Kieber. We are just so overjoyed that you would join us to hear more about how God is working in the marketplace. Our goal of this show is really to educate and inform and help the listeners out there maybe pick up some tips and some ideas from local business leaders whom are bringing the gospel to the marketplace, that are shining God's light into the marketplace and really making a difference in the communities that they live in.
You know, and I just want to add to that, too, because I think it's really important to remember that the marketplace isn't just in the doors of a business. You know, marketplace is really anything that's outside the doors of church. And so, you know, you will be hearing about people's testimonies here on this show, but also too, if you're not a business owner or you're not in a role of leadership right now, how can you go out to the marketplace and how can you share Jesus out there? And, you know, we base this show basically on new statistics that are out that show that 20% of Christian Americans are going to church on a regular basis. And that number is actually decreasing. And so we believe that what we need to do is we need to take church outside of the church doors, and we need to introduce people to Jesus. We need to be that light that he calls us to be, and we need to share that light in everywhere that we walk, not just inside the church doors, but everywhere that we walk, and that we can literally be the hands and feet, just as Jesus took himself outside the churches, outside the synagogues, that he took himself and he dwelt with the sinners, with the broken, that he dwelt among them and he taught them and he brought the light to them. We want to be those hands and feet and do the same thing. And so, like Ian said, you're going to hear from some amazing people on this program. And we're just so excited about the guest that we have with us today, because although we haven't known him for a very long time, one of the things that I can say is that the very first time we met him, we saw Jesus all over him. He has a light shining off of him that no one can deny, as well as do his wife and his three beautiful daughters. And so we just can't wait to have this guest come on and share with you.
Yeah, so we want to welcome Mr. Chris Bodman, who's a local business owner. And Chris has built a community around fitness where he also happens to have men's Bible study on Friday mornings at. And again, just a business that, you know, heals people physically and talks about nutrition and health and wellness. And so, Chris, why don't you come on and share a little bit about who you are and tell us about your business.
Sure. Hey, guys. Well, thank you so much for having me out. Ian and Allison, I'm honored to be here. So yeah, you said I own a CrossFit gym. So kind of a buzzword lately, CrossFit. I've had it for 3 years now. Married, beautiful wife, three beautiful daughters, 16, oh man, they grow so fast, 16, 14, and 12 now. I guess, what was your next question?
Well, so I'm curious. So 3 years now owning your CrossFit gym, how did you come to start your gym?
Good question. And yeah, we'll get into that, I guess. So I've always been, two things have been steady in my whole life since I was a little boy. One is faith and one is fitness. So for a while before this, I was doing something that wasn't fulfilling to me. I wasn't happy, but I was into fitness. And so when I joined, I was at another gym, I got started in CrossFit, I just thought there was another way it could be done. I thought it could be done differently. And I wanted to combine the two things that have been so important to me my whole life, which is faith and fitness. And to be honest, it's a lifetime dream come true, what I've done. And since I gave, you know, it was a calling, it was a vision, it was a lot of prayer, it was a struggle. But this was my calling. And since I've gone this, it's just exploded. As you guys know, I'm expanding, starting a new vision. I mean, I couldn't I couldn't have asked for anything better, and we've just been overjoyed with the response that we've had.
That's so exciting. And yes, we are so excited for you and all of the that's to come in your business. But I want to back up just a little bit, because you did say that you wanted to marry your faith and fitness, two things that obviously you're very passionate about. And so I just want to back up a little bit, and I'd love for you to share a little bit of your Jesus story, your testimony with us, if you can.
Sure, I'd love to. So what's funny about that is I used to say, well, I don't have a story. Right. And you guys, well, wait, you're supposed to tell us your story. Well, what I mean by that is I used to think that that my testimony wasn't worth much. And what I mean is I've attended church since before I was born, since before I can remember. I accepted Christ as my savior since I was a little kid. I've been going to we've gone to daily mass or church every week since I was little. It was just part of our life. I grew up in a strong faith-based family. So I've had a fairly smooth life. You know, I've probably been prayed over and for probably every day of my life. So I used to think that my story was boring or vanilla, right? That it wasn't any good. And it wasn't, and I struggled with that for a long time, almost self-worth. And it was about in 2012, a CrossFit mentor of mine, I was reading about, I was about to go meet him at a seminar or whatnot, and something hit home. And what he said was, what God saved you for is bigger than what God saved you from. And what he meant from that, what was meant by that was, good or bad, our past doesn't matter. Through Christ, we've secured a spot in heaven, and we're to live out the rest of our lives on earth, giving glory to God and leading others to him. And so what I mean by that, you know, so Jesus didn't have to rescue me from drugs or alcohol or abuse or poverty or anything like that. What he did, he saved me from thinking that I wasn't good enough or that my works weren't good enough. He basically saved me from self-doubt. And it's something I've struggled with. I moved around all growing up, and two things were always constant. Whenever I moved was faith and sports. And so those were the two things that almost saved me, right? Growing, moving every 2 years, meeting new people. I don't want to say it was hard. There's harder things, but it's hard as a kid, always moving and always starting over. But those two things, without my faith that my family gave me and without sports, you know, I don't know what I would have done. So it doesn't matter how boring, what I learned is it doesn't matter how boring your testimony is or what your talents are, you use it and you glorify God and he will take it from there. So that's when I saw that there could be another way to run, you know, a gym, is combining those two things that are so important to me and been there all my life, was faith and fitness.
That's so good. And I know there's a lot of listeners that can relate to you because, again, like you said, I mean, there's a lot of people out there with these big, like, aha moments of being saved or being, you know, taken out of the wreckage, right? And for those that are out there who are, you know, like you, who they've known Christ their entire lives. And what powerful words that your mentor gave to you, just those pierced me when you said that. Can you share that again, what that was for the listeners?
I will. Yeah, I'll never forget it. What God saved you for is bigger than what God saved you from.
So we all have
a purpose. Yeah. So it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter how boring your testimony is or what your talents are. You tell it and use it to glorify God. And so I see that, you know, in my life, in my box, wherever I am, there are people that hopefully have the similar experiences that can relate to me. It doesn't matter. The guy at the gym with a great childhood, advanced degree, great job, great family, lives a moral life, needs Jesus just as much as, you know, as someone who's hurting or an alcoholic or what have you, someone who's going through hard times.
That's good. Now, you mentioned moving every 2 years when you were a little boy. And I know that there's a particular song that you had mentioned earlier when we were talking that really helped you. And can you share a little bit about that song? And I think we're going to go ahead and play it.
I can. I did. I gave you guys kind of that as a sidebar, right? You asked for two. I gave you three. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. But, you know, this is one. This song has carried me through. It's just always been, whether it was my first Walkman or my mixtape or my iPod, or we all went through those phases, whatever phase of life I was in with whatever music, and it's currently on my phone. It's called Shine by the Newsboys. And I try and play it for my kids now just because I love the words in it, and they don't seem to like it or care for it as much as I do, but I try, right? That's what we do with our kids. We try. But yeah, so Newsboys Shine is just one that exemplifies, just shine. You know, let other people see Jesus in you, and that's how I live my faith out. I may not be the best with words, I may not be the best prayer out loud prayer sayer or whatnot, but if I can just shine, that's how I live my testimony every day. And this word or this song that you're going to play has been with me my whole life that I can remember.
Wonderful. Well, let's go ahead and play that song now for our listeners, and we will be back afterwards. So focus on the words. If it means a lot to Chris, it might mean a lot to you. Here we go.
When you hear your heart start asking, what's my motivation? And try as you may, there isn't a way to explain the kind of change that'll make an Eskimo rid of fur, that'll make a vegetarian barbecue hamster. Less you can trace this other face to a certain sign. Shine, make them wonder what you got, make them wish that they were not on the outside looking for. Shine before all men, let them see good works in men, let them glorify the Lord. Out of the shaker and onto the plate, it isn't color, it's sure ain't fate. That'd make a deadhead sell his van, that'd make a schizophrenic town in his crayon. Over freaks and science seeks a rationale that shall excuse his strange behavior. When you let it shine, you will inspire the kind of entire town. Even bounces who I'm happy. But out of the glare with nowhere to turn, you ain't gonna learn it. I'll watch my line. Shine, make them wonder what you got, make them wish that they were not on the outside looking born. Shine, let it shine before all men, let them see good works in them, let them glorify the Lord.
And that's the Newsboys Shine, and we are back with Chris Bodman, owner of CrossFit 737 in Austin, Texas. And gosh, Chris, like, you know, as some of the things that we were discussing before, you know, when you went on to take a risk and leave your job to open up the vision that God had given you in the form of the CrossFit gym, where you could combine faith and fitness and the things that you were passionate about, there was some risk involved in that. You know, maybe the listeners sure. out there are, you know, wondering, you know, what at what point did you say, hey, I'm going for it? And was there something specific that you just said, hey, I'm doing this, I'm going to make it happen, no matter what happens, I'm doing it. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely, yeah. So it is a huge leap of faith. And I was in, you know, when I got out of the fitness business, you know, 10, 12 years ago, I was at another job for a long time, 10 years. That was financially, that could financially support our family. I just wasn't happy. It just wasn't fulfilling. I didn't think I was living God's purpose, and I knew it the whole time. But sometimes I got attached to the financial part of it, right? We got to make a living. And maybe I wasn't fulfilling. I knew I wasn't feeling God's purpose, and I wasn't feeling fulfilled. So it was a struggle. It was a struggle for a long time. And it wasn't probably till I went home, about 3 years ago that I just broke down. And like a grown man, I broke down to my mom, who's always been there for me. And she just asked, you know, are you living God's purpose in your life? And I was like, absolutely not. And it probably wasn't until that point that she prayed over me. And I really gave it to God. Like, God, what do you want me to do? Jesus, what am I meant to do? That boom, you know, opportunities just start to happen. And a lot of people don't know this, but I had about 4 opportunities to my wife and I open up for a CrossFit gym. I mean, it was like it was like, what is going on here? I had more opportunities that I knew what to do with CrossFit Gym. But I was still working my other job, and I want to do this, but is it going to be right? And there's back and forth. There's probably a year of back and forth. So we finally narrowed down to the current opportunity I have, and that looked like the best one. Okay, let's do this. Well, how are we going to support it? Well, we went on our own. We just did it little by little, and right away, just amazing people have stepped up. Obviously, we couldn't have done it ourselves. It takes an amazing community. It takes people that believe in you, that see your vision, that happens. But it all comes from when we finally just said, Lord, what do you want us to do? That's just a burden lifted off your back, right? I mean, it's hard to do sometimes to give that 100% faith in what your vision is or what you think you're called to do. It takes a lot of faith. And so honestly, just by faith, it's worked. We've grown it. We couldn't be more blessed with how it's come about. Mm-hmm. And so it continues to grow.
Oh, that's good.
Thankfully.
I was thinking, in those 10 years that you were working the job that, provided well financially, I'm sure you were praying all of those years as well. And, it made me think of how many of us we're out there praying. We're praying for God to bring us to what he has for us. Yet we're letting, the strongholds or certain chains really hold us down from, sometimes what God has as the blatantly obvious. Like you said, I mean, there were three or four times that you had the opportunity to really step into this, but it took that absolute just completely surrendering. And, what a difference I'm sure, like you said, that made, a grown man crying to his mom, and, you kind of chuckle at that, but I think what it really represented was just absolute surrender and being able to walk into, the absolute unknown, but also too, I'm sure you had, there was something that you had that you said, that you knew, like this voice that said, it's going to be okay. I'm going to make this work.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so for 10 years, are you really, you're not happy. So what happens is when you're not happy, you start to look inwards instead of outwards. Mm. You start to look inwards. I'm not fulfilling my faith. So I wasn't depending on Lord, the Jesus to lead me in what I was doing. And so you get caught in that spiral, right? I'm still living a moral life. I'm still doing everything right, but I'm not living for his purpose. Mm. And it's not a fun place to be, right? It's not a fun place to be. At least it wasn't for me. And I can't imagine how it would be, but you think you're doing the right thing. What do you mean? I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm working to raise my family, to earn money for my family. And I'm raising my kids. I'm going to church, but it's not enough until you fully surrender and live out God's purpose for you. And that's a very powerful, scary thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how many of us are, as Christians, we're checking all the boxes, right?
Sure.
I tithe.
Exactly.
I go to church every week. And then you look at the statistics of 20% and you're like, do you really?
Right. Yeah, you just said that and I didn't know that. But man, that's really scary.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is, again, why I think look at your business and why is God calling people to go out to the marketplace and to be his hands and feet and to shine his light. And, I'm sure you have, all different kinds of people that walk into the doors of your business that, believers of different beliefs of, non-believers or whatnot, but still being that consistent. Like I said, when we met you, again, just the light was all over you. And, listening to the words of that song, thinking, often you probably have heard people say, there's something different about you, right? There's just, I don't know what it is. There's just something different.
I don't know that anybody's told me that, but I don't know. I don't see myself that way. Probably being hard all my life, being, like I said in the beginning, always hard on myself, not thinking I was good enough. What's my purpose, right? We struggle with those things. I see it in other people. I see it in you too. I see it in you guys, right? And that's why I think we hit it off so well. Mm. But it's a hard thing to do.
There's definitely something about walking out in God's calling on your life that that there's you shine a different light. You know, when you're walking in that calling, it becomes an attraction for those around you. And like Allison said, I mean, you see that in the culture that you've had there and the family that you've created and built, that's expanding. Because when you walk through the doors of your gym, there's a welcoming, there's a genuine feeling that you're cared for. And that's, right. Like I said, and I've you can walk into certain businesses and not see that or not feel sure. that. And when somebody's walking in their purpose and they're just passionate about it, you definitely see that happen. So I'm curious, do you have any key scripture that you turn to frequently, or, you know, things that the one that kind of anchors you?
Philippians 4:13 has always been one, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I keep one in my mirror. I don't know where it's from. It's just a prayer that I almost say every day. As long as faith gives me strength, I will always be joyful. Right, two things that I depend on: strength and just being joyful for things, being thankful for things, in all manners, just being thankful. So that one is one that I read almost every day, just to get me started when I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm in the office, what have you. As long as faith gives me strength, I will always be joyful.
That's good.
And that just reminds me to be joyful and thankful. You know, and you mentioned the gym. That's all it was. It's nothing secret. It's not a big deal. It's just a place where I thought that it could be done differently, something that's positive, somewhere that you know, a man would be happy to bring his wife and kids, or a gal would love to bring their family and, you know, not be embarrassed about anything. A supportive, positive, encouraging place can be done, right? It's nothing secret. I don't think it's that, you know, but I just thought it could be done that way, and that's helped.
Yeah, that's good, because I think – you know, yeah, you think that it's no secret, right?
Right.
And
I don't know.
But also too, I mean, there was a message that was written on her heart. There's a ministry aspect. And I think, you know, sometimes people will shy away from using the word ministry because they think that to minister, for some reason, they have to be inside the doors of a church. They have to be, you know, they have to be called into being a pastor, you know. But the ministry, again, is about us being the hands and the feet. And so, you know, you're called into a very different kind of ministry, into a marketplace ministry. And, you know, how profound that is. And obviously, I mean, it's growing, right? This is growing for you. You've outgrown the space that you're currently in, and you're currently building a new building. And I believe it, three or four times the size of what you're currently in?
It is. Yeah. We're going from 800 to 3,400 square feet.
Wow.
And that was a journey in itself. There was a time where I knew I needed something else, but nothing was coming about, and it was some real soul searching. Like at the time, maybe like a year ago, Ian, you'll testify to this. I was really, really struggling with what was going to happen, and opportunities weren't there. And only by people that surround me, like, no, you're doing the right thing. Just hang in there. And this opportunity presented itself, and it was like, holy cow, Lord, thank you so much. Like, how did I, you know what, there's always a plan, and you just got to have faith in it. And although I was struggling deep down inside, I knew there was a plan, but it's still hard to deal with those daily struggles every day when things don't go your way. But faith did keep me going. But it's not easy, right? It's not easy, man. You got to fight for it every day. You got to wake up. You got to have the right frame of mind, and you got to go after it and get it. And
yeah.
It takes 100% faith.
You know, one of the things that I can say about that is also you've established a Friday morning men's Bible study. And I think that one of the special things about the community that you've created is that you've created a group of warriors that are there to support each other in those times of stress, in those times when we're not, you know, when we may be focusing on the problem instead of focusing on God, and to watch right. them rally around you. But tell me, how did Fight Club come about?
And that's actually how you got introduced, right?
Exactly how I was introduced to your gym was through Fight Club, and what brought me there.
Right.
So how did Fight Club come about? How did that happen?
Sure, Fight Club came about. So we're actually local. We're involved. We've just been friends with a local church, Real Life. Amazing group of people. Pastor Micah, who's actually starting this church from just a vision, similar vision on his own, just, hey, Austin needs an amazing church. So, and my wife has been friends with his wife, and we're just kind of friends through friends. So that, we're kind of in the same area. So I just happened to get involved. I mean, I think our first involvement I can remember was one of the local youth pastor's wife actually joined to come work out, and she loved it. And her husband, who's the local youth pastor, would wait in the car. He didn't even want to come in. Right? And then so, and now he's a coach for us. And I just was like, let me go meet this guy, come out here. And he was amazing. He's an amazing guy. And so then he kind of started slowly coming in. And then we met up with another local youth pastor through the same church, right? Just kind of got involved with this church, Coach Trey. So what happened actually, so my wife and I would drop into Real Life, and they just happened to be, we went on a day where they were, you know, Micah was talking about, you know, you or local groups, get involved with the group, and they needed people to start a group. And my wife are there, and we had this envelope, and we're like, I was like, we could do a group at our gym. And so I wrote, you had to write on this envelope what, you know, how could you have a group? And we're about a year into our gym, and I knew I wanted something like this, but I just didn't know how it was going to work or what to do. So we wrote on there, you know, I don't even know if we wrote Fight Club. I think we just wrote, I would host a men's group or a group at the gym. And that happened to get turned into one of their guys, who's now also a coach for us, Trey, who knew about CrossFit and who loved Jesus. And he called, and within a week, he came to the gym. He checked it out, and he even came to me. And I was thinking maybe once a month we could do this, kind of get together. And he's like, I want to do this every day. Every week. And I was like, every week? I don't know. I was thinking once a month. And he goes, no, we're going to do it every week, and we're going to do it on Friday morning. And I was like, okay, you know, we'll see if this works. And out of nowhere, I mean, people just started coming. Guys started showing up, guys that wanted to know about Jesus and guys that wanted to get fit, whatever, get some fitness, whichever. And so that's how it kind of got started.
That's good. And, you know, I think about that, and I think, you know, a lot of people who, well, let me back up. So I believe that inside every single one of us, we have a great need to be a part of something that's very big and something that is very outside of ourselves, very, very much bigger than ourselves. And I believe that God put that in all of us to want to be a part of that. And, you know, but there's a lot of people out there that don't know what that is, that they don't know that right. Actually is God trying to call us to him. And so they go and search, right? And they search, right. You know, in all these different places. And you know, a lot of the places Satan is hidden, right? And so, you know, he's preying on that. But then there are these places that are outside of the church where these people may never walk into church doors. That's just too scary for them, or that's just... they can't even go there. But where could they walk into... that they go, there's just something where I feel like I need to have some questions answered. I need a safe place. I need to know more. And that's, you know, when Ian comes back and he talks a little bit about, you know, the people that he meets at your Bible study, that, you know, all walks of life, again, and all different levels of belief and you know, different stages of their walk. And that, but the one thing is consistent is that it's a safe place. And it sounds to me like you have a pretty good return rate of people coming back.
Sure. I think so. Right. I mean, right. But if we can just reach out to one person, that's all we can do. We don't worry about the numbers, or at least I don't, but it's awesome. I mean, Coach Trey or Pastor Trey does an amazing job at leading this. Man, he puts his heart out there. His belief in this and his love for Jesus is what makes this work. I mean, we all do, right? But he's an amazing leader, and I couldn't be more blessed and thankful to have him as part of this, right? And it takes, if you provide, God will provide as well. Or if you listen, God will provide. And God has provided me with an amazing staff, or I don't even call them staff. I just, you know, they're peers, right? We all work together in this, and it can't be done alone. And if you believe, God will provide, and I truly believe that, and he has provided.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, it was interesting, too, because when you were talking about how Fight Club really even came into existence, I was thinking about the divine appointments, you know, and Pastor Dale, he talks about that a lot, that he actually prays for divine appointments every day. And, you know, believing that God has those divine appointments, that when we meet somebody that, you know, maybe, just maybe, it's not on accident. Maybe there's a purpose for our meeting. Maybe there's a bigger reason for this. And so thinking about how that kind of all came about of you're like, okay, we got this envelope and we just, sure, we'll do it. We love to gather people. Right. And, you know, and again, that's another part of it, I think, is that, you know, I think of your gym, I think of CrossFit, I think of the Fight Club, you know, all these things. There's this, all you're really doing is you're just being a gatherer.
Yes.
Right. It's you're just gathering people, just gather people and then shine the light. And so, you know, just curious, you know, you had mentioned to us another one of your favorite songs was You Never Let Go. Is there some special meaning of that song to you?
No, all I can tell you is if I'm driving and I seem to hear it quite a bit, I turn it up and I will start crying like a baby. I don't know what it is about it, but that song hits me every time. Man, it's powerful to me.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and play it for the listeners.
All right.
You're not a distant God, not just a legend of old. In the middle of the darkness, there is no moment I'm alone. Your love can't be outdone, a love that you'll never withhold. You were constant, always with. Oh,
You never let go, never let go, never let go. You pull me in close, pull me in close, pull me in close.
And we're back with Chris Bodman from CrossFit 737. And one of the things the premise of this show and the tagline that we want to stick with is we dare not wait for the world to come to us, right? It's our duty, it's our responsibility to take the love of God and of Christ out to the marketplace and out to where our lives, where we live outside of the church walls. And again, we want to just we're so thankful to have Chris back with us right now. And Chris, share with us a little bit about your family. I mean, you've got three beautiful girls, and tell us a little bit about them.
Right, I can't forget them, and that's the foundation of who I am. Really, what I always say it's not about me anymore; it's about them. So, my wife and I met in college. Going on 18 years now. So, 18 years of wonderful marriage. Right, not a hard time at all. Just kidding. It's definitely marriage is a beautiful thing. You got to fight for it. But my amazing wife, beautiful wife, who supported me all through this, and she's kind of been the rock and keeps me grounded. We have, like I said, three amazing daughters, three girls, Faith, Grace, and Haley, all unique and beautiful in their own right, completely different, right? But beautiful in their own. Our oldest daughter actually just made the fittest games last week, a big CrossFit competition. So she loves it. Our middle one's all about dance and cheerleading. Funny story about that. So I've owned a CrossFit gym for about 3 years, right? Trained people. And so I come in, I found out a couple of weeks ago, I come in and my wife said, "Oh, I'm taking Grace to Lifetime Fitness." I said, "What do you mean you're taking her to Lifetime Fitness? I own a gym. What are you talking about?" And she said, "Honey, CrossFit's not her thing, right? But she's there. We're happy she's working out." I was not happy. I was like, "What are you talking about? Like, we're paying a membership. I own a gym. What are you talking about?" But I had to come around, right? It's not her thing. CrossFit's just not for her, and that is okay. She loves the yoga. She loves the dance classes. That's her thing. And so I've come to support her, and it's amazing. And just the other day, I picked her up, and I felt so bad because we were on the way home, and she said, "Dad, you know, I'm working out. Are you proud of me?" And it hit me so hard because, you know, of course I'm proud of you, baby. Of course I'm proud of you, because it's not about what I want for her. It's about what she wants, right? And what makes her happy in that sense.
Yeah. Sounds like so you may have some yoga classes in your future.
I'll do whatever I need to do, right? As a dad, we'll do the more embarrassing things, I'm sure. But and then our youngest, Haley, who's just a fireball. She's always been a firecracker. Is basically grown up in the gym. She's a gym rat. She loves hanging around. Constantly wants to work out, and is also a big time soccer player. So without them, you know, none of this, I wouldn't be where I'm at. Thankful, so thankful and blessed to have all them.
That's good. Now, and then I know that you actually hold a kids CrossFit class, and you know, not all CrossFit gyms do that. Tell me a little bit about kind of your heart on that, and what brought that about.
Sure, well, that was my passion intentionally, right? I love kids. I love kids, but I'm the oldest of eight. So being around young ones has just been a part of my life. And part of my calling, I think, is working with kids. So that was my intention from the very beginning. I was going to have CrossFit kids because I believe in CrossFit, but I believe it's the future for these kids, well-rounded athletes. I have little guys. I do some 6 to 8 year olds who it's glorified, you know, run around and have fun and get them to working out without really knowing they're working out, right? But mm-hmm. athletic movements. And then we also have some older kids who come in as well, and they can learn functional fitness and be taught how to move and whatnot. So that's a highlight of my week, actually. I love doing that part of it.
Yeah, and it's such an encouraging environment for kids and adults alike. And like I said, you've just done some wonderful work there, and just working in your calling again is shining through all aspects of your business and your life and through your girls as well. So well done.
Yeah. And, you know, it one of the things that I was noticing about your gym in particular, and again, I've gone to a couple different gyms, so I have something to compare to, but not maybe not a whole lot out there. But one thing that is different, I think, is that you have always made your gym about family. I mean, your wife is a CrossFit coach as well, even though she is a full-time. I mean, she is, gosh, I think she just got nominated for one of the top leaders in real estate here in the Austin area, I just read. And so, obviously, she's, you know, does well on her own right and, you know, has obviously her time committed to that. But she does come in and coach the classes as well. And like you said, you've got two of the girls, it sounds like, that are loving the CrossFit.
Yeah, she's a rock, man. She's a rock of the place. She keeps me grounded and keeps this thing ticking.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which I couldn't do it without her now.
That's so good. And how fun, right? I mean, how fun that you guys get to do it together. And, you know, it's funny, Ian and I are in business together. And, you know, I hear a lot of times people say, oh, gosh, I could never be in business with my partner. And I just, you know, sometimes I kind of have to go, really? Really? You know,
yeah,
of course,
nothing
out there is easy, but it's definitely worth having. And I'm sure that you guys find your, you know, differences probably and even coaching styles and whatnot, but are able to make it work.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what makes it work is keeping each other. And we've grown more right together than you just got to grow with each other, right? And not only your faith, but our fitness together. I mean, it's all in one. It works together really well.
That's so good. Well, Chris, we want to be respectful of your time and just want to say thank you so much for joining us on the show. We'd love it if you could, you know, say a prayer right now, if you could share and just pray for the audience, pray for the world and for the listeners out there.
Sure, absolutely. Come, Holy Spirit. God, our Father, we thank you so much for the gift of love and the gift of life. We thank you for Ian and Allison, and we thank you for all the members or for the listeners out there. We ask that you send your holy angels to protect us, to protect them, to guide us each day. Help us walk this narrow path of purity, self-control, and obedience, as was taught by your Son, Jesus Christ. Guide us in what your will is to be done, and just lead us in what you want to do. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in union with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. That's good. And I want to honor you and I want to thank you for walking out in faith and stepping into that and being obedient. And even though your ministry looks different than, you know, what people may think ministry is supposed to look like, that doesn't matter because nonetheless, it is a ministry. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, keep shining the light, you know, keep being that beacon. And, you know, people will say there's something different and I don't know what it is, but I'm attracted to it and I want to know more about it. And, just, you know, encourage the listeners out there to, you know, again, be that light. Jesus said that he was going to leave something better for us, that he was going to leave something better than him being here walking with us. And I know that when I hear that, I think, how could there be anything better than Jesus literally walking right by our side? And there is. He left his Holy Spirit to reside in us and to lift us and to be that light for people. Again, Lord, I pray that you use Chris to be able to continue to expand the kingdom, continue to, you know, use his gym as a testimony to glorify you, God. And Chris, we just thank you. We bless you and your family and just ask God to continue to put a hedge of protection around them. And we ask for increase in abundance so that you can continue to do more and more for the kingdom.
Yeah. And Chris, how can the listeners get in touch with you? How can they reach you? How can they see, you know, maybe online or, you know, email? Is there a way that people can reach out to you?
Absolutely. So Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Chris at CrossFit737.com. If they have any questions, thoughts, what have you, feel free to reach out.
Fantastic. So that's Chris at CrossFit737.com, or you can visit their website at CrossFit737.com. Here in Southwest Austin, that's Chris Bodman. We just want to thank you again for joining us here. We're going to play one more song for you, and then we'll come be right back to wrap things up.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at His right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take Him at His word and day. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of Him to be my Savior. Doubt He will leave His place on high and come for sinful men to die. Strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves me. Living, dying, let me breathe. My strength, my solace from the spring. That He who lives to be my King once died to be my Savior. That He will leave His place on high. Sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives.
Love that song. And we're back. We just want to again say thanks to Chris Bodman for joining us on the show today. And I want to bring a little perspective for you listeners out there from the Bible, from Luke 5, where I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, where the fishermen, who were small business guys, had been working hard despite a disappointing night. And in the distance, they saw the religious were following a new holy wise man around, listening to everything he was saying. The workers, which were the fishermen, were not happy. They'd failed to meet their sales quotas the night before. And imagine that, possibly owing money on the boats, worried about nets lasting. No fish means no money to pay debts and feed family. And tired, having worked all night. Too tired for religion, probably falling asleep in the sermon. But what can a religious guy offer a business guy like me? That's probably what the fishermen were asking themselves. Though the workers were stressed, the holy man Jesus steps into the boat, wanting to use the business assets for church purposes. And he asks to be taken out from the shore so he can continue his sermon. You can imagine the thoughts. I'm busy. I've got work to do. This boat is for work, not idle chatter. But Jesus, a carpenter, then tells Simon how to run his business. He says, throw the nets out again. Simon knows his business. You don't fish in the middle of the day and there are no fish. Having tried unsuccessfully all night to fish, they weren't able to catch anything. How was throwing them out by day going to do anything? So remember, we can all fall into the trap of believing that faith has nothing to offer the world of work. In the everyday, work is about logic. Faith is about dealing with the unknown. Most do not get paid for dealing in the unknown. But to leave Jesus out of our business world is to miss out on an abundant blessing. Jesus entered Simon's world of work, and his work was blessed. His life was turned upside down, and the salt and light effect drew others to what God was doing in Simon's life. Simon was humbled to see God's gracious and abundant blessing pour over him. It's that humility which helps us be most available to God, so the mission can be blessed and that God can be glorified. Now, Jesus wants you to invite him into your boat. What business or work circumstances do you need Jesus to step into your boat, to bring significant blessing, calm the storms of business, and take your business to a new place? Great questions.
Yeah, that was so good. And, you know, I think also, too, is that, you know, it's we have to remember that, you know, being believers doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but Jesus does promise that it's going to be worth it. And so that's what we have to remember. We have to remember that it's worth it, and that although the mission to us may be something small, may seem like, you know, it's insignificant, but if it's what Jesus is calling us into, it's big. And it's big. And, you know, for me recently, I've been really felt called to just really be present and doing well in the assignment of motherhood. You know, even though I'm a business owner and a wife and, you know, so many other things, but, you know, one of the assignments that I'm currently in is being a mother to three beautiful children who I know are born to be kingdom builders, and that I get one shot. I get one shot at teaching them and speaking into them and being there for them. And although there's a mundaneness to some of the assignments that we have, the daily tasks may seem mundane, but nonetheless, they're God's assignments. And so that we have to do well in those assignments. So I think that's, again, I love the story that you just shared, because, again, we need to make sure that we're inviting Jesus into our boat, because, you know, if we keep trying to do it on our own strength and on our own behalf, we're going to grow weary, right? We're going to go tired. But like he says, you know, don't grow weary of doing good, right? Don't grow weary of that, because I'm here with you. And, you know, just keep inviting him in. Keep inviting him into the boat.
Yeah, so we just want to say thank you so much, listeners, for joining us today. We want to end in prayer. But first, we'd like to actually, you know, honor Breakout Prayer Radio Network and Dale and Jean Gentry. And we just want to invite you to make an offering, to give to this ministry that's reaching, you know, countless ears across this globe with stories, with prayer, with hope out there for people with God's light, God's word shining and guiding it all. And so we'd invite you to give, to tithe, to Breakout Prayer Radio Network.
And yeah. And how blessed are we that this station even exists, and that we get to have the ministry of, you know, Pastor Dale and all of the others that come on here and pour into us. And, you know, again, just that, you know, there's just a little can do a whole lot. And I think that sometimes, you know, when it comes to tithing, you know, we can't look at it as an obligation, or we can't look at it as one of those things that we check off a box. You know, we have to tithe with what Jesus puts on our heart. And, you know, I know for us that, you know, there have been times where Jesus has stretched us. But it was very clear that it was what he wanted us to do. And so we walked in obedience, not because of the fruit that it may produce for us. Again, that's something that I want to be very clear about. It's not about the fruit that it will produce for you. It's about the obedience and not expecting to have any fruit come from it, because it is just pure obedience. And so I know for us that being able to tithe into, you know, Breakout Church and Breakout Ministries is something that God wants us to do. And I hope that if you're listening, that, you know, maybe he's calling you to do that as well. And so if he is, how you can do that is you can, there's two ways. You can send a check to made out to Breakout Ministries, and you can send that to P.O. Box 91985, and that's Austin, Texas 78709. Or you can simply go to bpnradio.com and click on the donate button.
And remember, all of your donations are tax deductible and are a giving to a ministry. So we just want to thank you all once again, listeners, for joining us. And we'd love to end this in a special word of prayer. So, Father God, we just thank you so much for the opportunity for listeners to hear your word, God. Mm-hmm. We thank you for BPN Radio and for Dale and Jean Gentry and for their ministry, God, that gives people who may not have a church or may not have a way to receive God's word a way in the darkness of this world that a light can shine through this. Lord, we thank you for Chris Bodman and Denise Bodman and their ministry here in Austin of CrossFit 737. We thank you for divine appointments and leading us places where we may not see what's there for us, but we trust and we believe and we move with faith into those areas where you're calling us. God, we just ask that we thank you for shining that light, for giving hope, for giving guidance for those who are out there who need you, God, that they just might see that the storms that they're facing right now are not necessarily for forever. Maybe it's a chance for you to build them. Maybe it's a chance to steer them in a direction where your calling is reaching out to them, and it's about them achieving what you have in store for them, for you achieving that increase in their lives, Lord. And we just thank you again for joining all of us here, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, I thank you. Again, I thank you for divine appointments, Lord, but I want to pray over those of you who are listening and those of you who, you know, maybe throughout this broadcast, you started thinking, have I fully surrendered? Have I been praying and I've been asking God to do some things in my life, but I haven't fully surrendered? And Lord, I pray for there to be that moment today where they just fully surrender to you, God, that the chains of whatever chains are holding them back from just fully surrendering and letting you have your way, God, that those chains be broken, that they be broken and that they fall into absolute complete surrender, and that they hear you, Lord, that they hear you give them guidance on where you want them to go, where you want to lead them. And Lord, I just ask that you lead them into pastures that are just so full of opportunity and so full of opportunity to share you and to build your kingdom, and that they're allowed to share your truth, share your word, and minister to so many of those that are broken and lost, Lord, that they may never, ever find you if it isn't for them. And Lord, that today that responsibility just be placed on them, Lord, not as a heavy burden, but just as a sense of responsibility that you are calling them, that you have something more for them, that you have heard every single one of their prayers and you have an answer, and all you're waiting for is their surrender. You're waiting and saying, look, I just want to grow your faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being a teacher and the one who loves us so much that you would just be so patiently waiting for us to just fully surrender, God. And we just thank you for that. We thank you that will happen today. Today, that we can walk into what you have in store for us, Jesus. And we just thank you. We thank you so much, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to another special edition of Marketplace Saturday, being heard throughout the day here on bpnradio.com. Keep listening for another special show here on Marketplace Saturday with your host, Rick Gentry.